This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. I would ask if you would join me in taking out the Red Book of Common Prayer from the pews and invite you all to turn in that Book of Common Prayer to page 258. On page 258, you will see a prayer at the top of the page. Number 17 is the prayer number on page 258 for the nation. And I'm going to invite you to say that with me together. Lord God Almighty, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Great prayer on this, our Independence Day extended weekend. There is another prayer for Independence Day you'll find on 242. So if you get called to do the invocation at your local barbecue on July the 4th, you have two great resources right there to use. Happy Independence Day weekend. So I'm going to make you think today. The word intelligence, if we look at its root, says really to choose between. So we have to choose. So I'm going to ask you, as you think of freedom that we celebrate, what comes to your mind and your heart as the greatest freedom that you celebrate? Think about it for a minute. Do, 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 do. Okay, time's up. Freedom of religion, Bob says. Lila echoes that. What else? Speech. The right to vote. The right to bear arms. Free will. Free press. Freedom to live. Somebody in the back? Freedom of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Freedom to love. Freedom to pray aloud. But not when the rector's talking. Okay. Good. You got it all right. Because somebody else, no? When we think of freedom, we gathered in this church on this weekend, it's not just about the freedom that we celebrate as a country, but it's about the Christian freedom that we just heard about in Romans 6, that there is a Christian notion of freedom that goes far beyond the freedom that we celebrate in this country. And a lot of times, we are tempted when we think about freedom to stop at freedom from. So we think about freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, freedom from discrimination, freedom from being enslaved. But it's not just about freedom from, it's freedom to. That when we have been given this gift of freedom in Jesus Christ, it is so that we can become and do all that God would have us be and do and become. I remember when I was in the corporate world, I've told people this example before, there was this guy that was the darling of the CEO of the company, and as I got to know him more and more, he didn't do anything. Nothing. And he kept getting promoted and promoted until finally it came to light that this guy was doing nothing. And when he was finally gone, the boss, who finally got to a realization of this guy, said, you know what? He has a lot of potential, and he always will. Meaning, it's always just going to be potential because he's going to do nothing with it. And that is what the call is when we talk about the freedom that we have. Paul gets it so right on today when he's talking about this call that we have, that once we have made this decision that we're going to follow Christ, we have this incredible freedom. And we could consider it as a sort of slavery, but it really means that we have an obedience, that we have decided I'm going this way, and so anything that tells me other than going this way, well, that's not where I'm going to go. Now, a perfect practical example for me is, you've probably all got this app on your phones, but we've got a Magellan or a TomTom, but you have a GPS, and it tells you where you're supposed to go, huh? And I'm sure, as you have used that along the years, you have heard this sound. If we can get it to play today. Sasha doesn't want to talk today to us. Recalculating. 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 And then what comes next? Please make a U-turn whenever possible. I guess our Wi-Fi doesn't work in the church today. This is what happens. I can remember our family. We were going to a family wedding in Cincinnati. We had this GPS that they had given to me for Father's Day, so I was being obedient to that GPS. We called the voice Sasha, and I was going to do whatever Sasha told me to do. And it was late at night. We were going to an airport hotel on the night before going home. And the GPS is leading us down some pretty shady streets. But I was going to follow Sasha. I was obedient to her. Until we got to the shore of a river with a sign that said the ferry stops running at 8 o'clock or something like that. And it was well past that. Who are we going to listen to? Granted, the GPS sometimes isn't updated with the latest software, and so we're going to get led astray. But we can place our obedience in one who is not going to lead us astray. And when we get to those times in our life where it's difficult, we're free because I know that's not a temptation to me because I know I'm going this way, and this is what God is telling me to do. Whenever I'm looking for inspiration, I go to my theological sources. So today I go to Dr. Seuss. And you're probably familiar with a little lesson that Dr. Seuss wrote in a book for people who are graduating. And he writes this: congratulations, today's your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care, and some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not-so-good street. This gift that we have been given of freedom, when seen in the Christian context, is the ability for us to be a shining light, because now I don't have to worry about all the extraneous things and I concentrate on just staying on the path, and everything that is off the path, I just let it go. Perhaps I oversimplify it. But Paul makes it clear that that is the gift of Christian freedom. There is a man who wrote a book some years ago, and I forget his name, but it was called Positive Addiction, which seems at first perhaps as a contradiction in terms. But the thoughts that he expresses in the book are exactly what Paul talked about when thinking of Christian freedom. People who have had addictions to drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it might be that they've been addicted to, once they have been able to fight that addiction, the overwhelming comment that we seem to hear is people saying, I was a slave to it, and now I'm free. Well, there is a certain sense in which when we are obedient to God and we are on that path, that we are no longer slaves, we are truly free. And we can look beyond the trivialities and the things that just don't matter. I can't think of a more important time in our lives together in a country than when we need to be the people who concentrate on the things that truly matter. Yes, we continue to strive for justice and peace, as our baptismal covenant calls us to do, but we're on a different path than a lot of people. And so there's a call for us that we don't resort to the gutter, that we are called to act in a certain way because we are obedient to a God whom we follow. You want to know who the most free person who ever lived on earth was? It was Jesus. He was the most free person ever because he was totally obedient to God, and anything that came into his path that was not of God, he just let it go. And he continued to live out the truth in love. That's our call. There's a simple way we can conclude with today that perhaps is a good step for us. It's the way Jesus addresses his disciples in the gospel today. This is the end of this discourse to the disciples that we have been hearing these past weeks with great detail that he tells them what they should do and what they should look out for. Isn't it interesting that he chooses to end the discourse in this way, talking about something very simple? If you just give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, you will not lose your reward. Maybe we can just concentrate on being more hospitable to one another to start with. To understand that, no, we don't go to the gutter with our comments because that is not what we are called to do as followers of the freest one who ever lived. But it's just in small kindnesses that perhaps we can make a difference in our world. Remember, Mother Teresa had that famous thing posted on her wall that talked about the fact that we are not necessarily all going to do great things with little love because that's not what it's about. It's about doing little things with great love. That is our call. Perhaps look for the ways in which that metaphorical cup of cold water is that which we can extend one to another. And maybe just then, we can start to achieve the unity that God calls us to be the shining lights, just as Jesus sent those disciples out to be apostles. We too can be sent out to do the same. Amen.